Good morning. This is the first summer of our summer series. It might be the first summer for some people, but not any of us here. And if there are people in the back, I'd ask that you come forward a bit so that we have a nice band right across, or maybe we can somehow condense into a more central configuration. We'll start with number 156, and please stand as you're able. There will be much singing today, and I think that's a great way always to have a Sunday, but especially this first Sunday of our summer series. There's a wideness in God's mercy. Number 695, By the Waters of Babylon. We'll sing this through once, and we have enough now. It's like a choral quorum that we can do three parts. So we'll just start here and go into the middle and go off to this side, and we end when we end. It won't go on forever, but at least we'll get three parts out of this. So four times through for sure.
Can you just play us in a bit?
And there's only one slide, so there's no popping around.
Thank you.
was beautiful.
Loving God, you have called us together from many different places, from many families, from many ways of speaking and thinking and living and loving. You have called us together in the name of love, in the example of love incarnate, in the power of the wild and the Holy Spirit. Thank you for your fierce love, which has broken down the walls, which has rewritten the law of barbed wire, which is bringing to life our dying hopes. For this day, we give thanks. For the infinite varieties of love, we give thanks. In the memory of loss and oppression and resistance, we remember. In newness of life, we gather and we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Welcome to Toronto United Mennonite Church, gathering here in Mississauga, Wyandotte, and Haudenosaunee lands. I'm thankful to be one of the pastors of this congregation. My name is Peter. My pronouns are he and him. I'm thankful to be part of a congregation which seeks to make a warm and welcoming place of belonging for people inclusive of our many differences, our different accents and upbringings, our different ways of making family, different experiences of our bodies and our spirits and minds, and different ways of seeking to live good and ethical lives in our urban context. In this church, we have made a commitment to be fully inclusive of the range of human sexualities and genders as a sign of the love of God and our commitment to follow Jesus. So whoever you are and whatever story you are bringing, you are welcome. I have two short logistical announcements. The first concerns those of us in this building. You may have noticed that the elevator is out of service today. We discovered that this morning. It will let you in. It may not let you out. So please try to help each other as necessary. I know that we encourage people to, like, it'll eventually let you out. There's no one trapped in there now. Please bear with us while we work on that. During coffee hour, Doreen and I would very much appreciate 3 or 4 volunteers to help us do some chair moving here in the sanctuary as we set up for next week. So please meet us here at the front if you're feeling like doing some of that. In this congregation, it is our custom to invite visitors to introduce themselves if they wish to do so. Here in the building, you can put your hand up for a microphone. Those of you online may write your name in the chat, and that will be shared with us. Today we're marking Pride Sunday, and we're joined by David Lau, a preacher originally from Hong Kong and currently affiliated with the United Church of Canada. David and I met through the ecumenical chaplaincy at U of T, where David operates a program building spiritual community among newcomers. So I'm delighted to welcome David, his husband Jeff, and Aunt Judy, who are worshiping with us this morning. Are there any other introductions to make at this time? All right. Hey, Tom. Good to see you. I know that for those of you online, it can be take a while to write something in the chat, so I hope I've given you enough time to introduce yourselves. Close to the end of the service, we will have our time of congregational prayer. And you can add your prayer request in the chat at any point during the service. And anybody in this congregation or beyond it is welcome to contact Christina or myself to pray with them during the week. Moving to our time of announcements. Our church office sends out an email on Fridays with details of our community life. You can get added to that email list by contacting administrator@tumsi.ca. And I just want to note that over summer, we will be sending this out every other week. So if you don't see it in your email, don't worry. Just search for announcements and you'll find the last one. Nobody has contacted me to ask about making an announcement. Shannon, did you want to make an announcement? Sorry, you did. No, you're looking blank. Sure, okay. Shannon did write me, but I wasn't quite clear if she was asking, and I couldn't see her. Hey, Shannon.
Good morning, everyone. I want to let you know about an event called Model Youth Justice, and it is happening August 7 to 9 for a wide age group, ages 15 to 30. So, and 15 to 30 and their leaders or supporters. So if you're bringing folks that are 15 to 30, you can also come. It's going to be at Hidden Acres Mennonite Camp for a weekend, all kinds of fun camp activities and some great learning opportunities as well as we talk about social justice issues. So I would welcome your assistance in inviting those who are 15 to 30. Registration deadline is July 20th. There's links in your announcements. Please get the word out. Thank you.
Thank you, Shannon. We'll continue in song.
Our next hymn is number 174 in your hymn books, or you'll see it on the screen. Christ has broken down the wall. I think we can stay seated, but I want you to reflect especially on the beginning of each verse. It's like this is a moment we can sit and reflect and sing this beautiful text. There are interesting things that I won't point out in the music, but the text is really quite powerful at the beginning of each verse.
Cast aside your doubts and fears. Earlier this year, Jay and I traveled to the United States, where we took part in the 50th anniversary event of the Brethren and Mennonite Council. And I've invited Jay up here to tell us a little bit about that as a kingdom reflection.
So 50 years ago, Martin Rock, who was a member of the Church of the Brethren, which is an American Anabaptist group, much like Mennonites, had been working for the Mennonite Central Committee for 10 years when he was outed and then fired for being gay. That wasn't unusual. That was actually standard practice. Almost everyone was fired for being gay if they were part of a church or a school or any kind of religious institution. But what's unusual is what Martin Rock did next. Is he set out to find every other, or at least as many as he could, gay and lesbian, Mennonite and Church of the Brethren people in Canada and the U.S. And that's the start of what was then known as the Brethren and Mennonite Council for Gay Concerns, might have been Gay and Lesbian Concerns, and is now known as the Brethren and Mennonite Council for Lesbian by for Gay, Lesbian, Bi, Trans Interests. Finding people back then was challenging, of course. There was no internet, and everyone was very closeted and very scared. So it was all done by word of mouth and letter. Even phone calls were prohibitively expensive. But he slowly cobbled together a mailing list of people. And he and his friends, the people that he found in Washington, started a newsletter. So for almost 50 years, there's been a newsletter going out connecting gay and lesbian people across North America. It's an e-newsletter now, but it was in print for a long time. At the 50th anniversary, we heard stories about Martin and his friends and how they did this early organizing. Anyone remember reading a brochure called What is a Christian Response to Homosexuality? It was written in the 70s, but widely distributed right up until the 90s. And there was a video called Voices of Dissent that featured Tumsi's own Becky Voth as one of the voices. Some of you may have seen that. Now, a few of you might be wondering why I'm up here telling you about queer history, because frankly, this isn't something I like to talk about, but it's Pride Day, and Peter's very convincing. So, although I really am the boring middle-aged dad you all know me to be, my road to fatherhood was not straight. It took some rather dramatic turns, and BMC was often the safety barrier that kept me from collisions. I learned about BMC in 1995, at which time I too was working for the Mennonite Central Committee, living a very sheltered, conservative life. I knew almost nothing about gay and lesbian people, had never even heard of the word trans man. I'd read a brochure from Focus on the Family about change ministries. That wasn't very helpful. But in 1995, I was given the address for BMC in Minneapolis and told that I could write to that address and get a newsletter about gay and lesbian Mennonites. And when I got my first copy of that newsletter in the mail, the director of BMC asked if I would also like to receive a second publication they have that was only given to self-identified gay and lesbian people. At that point in my life, no one had ever asked me. I'm sure many had wondered, but no one had ever asked me if I was queer. And so I wrote back and said, I don't know. I don't even know what a lesbian is, but I sure would appreciate any information you can send me that might help me figure that out. He also connected me with a local group of BMC. There was a really active group of BMC people in Ontario that he connected me with who were wonderful. They answered all my questions and listened to all my fears and introduced me to some fun things. They introduced me to the annual BMC winter retreat that was held at Silver Lake, an early show of support from Silver Lake administration. They invited me to my first Pride Festival. They showed me how to find and get let into the secret underground gay bar that was in an industrial park in Cambridge. Don't tell anybody. In the 90s, I and the rest of BMC did a lot of organizing and advocacy. We planned parties, we also planned Bible studies, we sang, we held conferences, bi-national conferences. We also tried and were refused to have conversation with the broader Mennonite church. We asked for workshop space or a conversation or a gathering or an information table at nearly every Mennonite Church, Ontario, or Canada conference, and were always denied. In the 90s, a Canadian board member of BMC, who some of you probably know, Greg Lichty, led the board in making a major change. Instead of banging our heads against the wall or knocking to be let in, he said, let's switch it to dancing at the wall. If you're not going to invite us to your party, we're going to hold our own and invite you to join us. It shifted the focus away from the constant rejection and exclusion, switched from humiliation to dignity, from request to invitation, from being excluded to being the ones doing the welcoming. Some of you may remember a Mennonite church assembly in New Hamburg. I can't remember what year it was, but it was the late 90s. And the theme was something about every gift. I think it was just every gift, and there were a bunch of subheadings. I don't know if anyone remembers. Where's JD? But the theme was every gift. And we found that really ironic because our gifts weren't welcomed. And I should say that at that point, BMC was almost all rejected church leaders. The people who didn't really care about church, they just walked away. They weren't part of BMC. The people that were part of BMC were the ones who felt called to pastoral ministry or who had been their youth group president or had worked for MCC. That's who BMC was. And so when the conference was held and the theme was every gift and our gifts weren't welcomed, we went and set up at the gates. Some of you may remember us and probably misunderstood us as being the conference-ordained welcoming committee, because that's what we looked like. We were a very friendly group with rainbow balloons at the door trying to get your attention, and people waved cheerily at us, having no idea, and not reading our t-shirts. We were wearing these, and they said, "What if all of God's children were welcome? Everyone's gifts were received. What if love prevailed?" So our attempt at the gates really failed miserably, but we also held a lunchtime gathering that was really well attended, and I think that was important. We invited a party, and many of the people from the conference came, left the conference, and came out to the gates and celebrated with us at lunch. Anyway, over time, things did change. BMC Canada actually hasn't existed for, Jesus, must be almost 20 years, but In This Together is now here doing much of the same work in Canada. BMC continues in the U.S. And it was amazing to be there and hear stories from some of the early people who did that work and reconnect with some of the people that I remember from the 90s. The world and the church is more welcoming now than I ever could have imagined. It was fun remembering the old days, and I'm very thankful for how different things are now.
Well said. Thanks, Jay. I just want to add a few notes myself. One of the highlights for me at the event was a very powerful presentation about the reconciling work that's taken place between BMC and some of the camps and the conferences that formerly held oppressive policies. And this included acts of restitution, as well as rituals of apology and forgiveness. And they were really like clear signs of God's reconciling power. Also want to note that our congregation understands LGBTQ inclusion as part of its mission. The Mission Service Committee regularly discusses this part, and we also support In This Together that works among Anabaptists in Canada towards inclusion. It was really fun traveling with Jay and visiting among our radical, faithful siblings in the United States. For me, it's really important to remember that there are faithful people everywhere in the world working against tyranny and oppression. To close this time, we're going to sing Santo Santo from Voices Together. This honors two of the major language groups of our neighbors to the south and also in this building, and it helps us remember that God's liberation is a greater reality than the powers of this world.
And now we will stand. Jeff, do you want to... So we'll run through, I guess, ultimately four lines of Spanish and then four lines of English. And it should all be up there, I think. I checked the order. Santo, 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 that's the way the slides are set up.
Part of our worship is sharing our financial resources as a community. Many in this congregation set up an electronic transfer with our treasurer. Others make use of the offering box by the entrance to the sanctuary. These offerings support the work of this church and ministries far beyond these walls, as we are called to work for the good of the city where we dwell and to bless our neighbors. Let's pray to dedicate our offering. There'll be words on the screen I'll invite you to follow. I will read the light print and we will all read the bold. God of extravagant mercy, with hands outstretched, you have poured out wonder and pleasure and delight, goodness and beauty and bounty. So take these offerings, we pray, as our protest against all that is evil and ugly and impoverished, trivial and wretched and tyrannical in this world and in ourselves, that we too may be poured out for the world. Amen. I would like to invite the children to join me at the front. Okie dokie. All right, can you all find a space on the blanket? Okay. Can you all see me? Yes, yes. Can you see me? Can you hear me? Okay, good. Can you see the board? Okay, good. So, this is a field, and it's a field outside of the city of Babylon. Here's the city walls. Babylon was a city many, many thousands of years ago, and it was the center of a great and powerful empire. And one of the enemies of the people of Babylon, we'll talk afterwards, so I'm just going to tell you a bit about this, okay? One of the enemies of the people of Babylon were the people of the city of Jerusalem. And Jerusalem was the place where God's temple is. So that's the place where God had set aside to say, you can come and pray here. But there was a war. And the people from the city of Babylon came to Jerusalem, and they broke down the city wall, and they went into the temple, and they took out all of the gold and all of the silver. And they also took out the most precious thing of all, which were the people. So they took the people who they thought would be good workers, because they were very strong, or people who had good skills that they wanted, and they took them all the way to Babylon, and they made them work. Now, do you know one of the words that we use for people who have to work like that? Yeah?
Slaves.
That's right. Was that what you were going to say? Yeah. They were enslaved people. They used to live in Jerusalem, but now they were living in Babylon. They used to be free, but now they were slaves. And one thing that they would do, because the work was very hard, was they would come and sit down beside the river, where it was very cool, and they would try to rest. But one day, some of the people came out of Babylon. Remember, these were the people in charge. And they said, "Sing to us the songs of Jerusalem to entertain us." Because back home in Jerusalem, the people used to sing songs. They would sing songs when they were happy. They would sing songs to tell stories about their ancestors and about how God had worked with them in the past. And they would sing songs about how they were blessed and how God had always looked after them. Singing was really important to them. So these songs were sacred songs. It's a little bit like some of the songs that we sing on a Sunday morning. And this must have been really complicated for them, because they've been asked to sing these songs. But these were sacred songs. How can you sing a sacred song when you're a captive in another land? And probably they thought to themselves, "I don't want to sing these songs. These aren't songs to entertain people. These are songs to praise God." But the people of Babylon wanted to be entertained. So what do you think they did? Do you think they refused to sing the song? Or do you think they agreed to sing the song? If you think they agreed to sing, put up your hand. What do you think? One, two, maybe. Yeah, there could have been some consequences. What do you think they refused? Put up your hand if you think they said, "No, we won't sing the songs." Yeah, one, two, three. All right, put up your hand if you don't know. Yeah. I don't know either. I don't know what they did. Isn't that interesting? I don't know if they said, "Yes, we will sing our songs," because it was really important for them that their children learn these songs so that they would remember that God loves the people and God looks after them. Or did they say, "No, we won't do it because these songs are not for your entertainment"? Well, we don't know what happened, but I do know one thing they decided to do. Can anybody guess? What do you think?
They decided to rebel.
No. Well, in a way they did. Decided to rebel. One of the ways that they rebelled was by writing new songs. And these were songs that said, "God loved us in Jerusalem, and God loves us in Babylon. God loves us when we're free, and God loves us when we're slaves." And these are the songs that make up the book that we call the Bible. Did you know that? That's how the Bible was put together, was the people had been taken away from the land and they needed to remember their stories. So they started to write down everything they could remember and all the rules they used to live by and all the stories and the songs. And that's how we have the Bible today. Isn't that interesting? So let's pray together to say thank you for this time. I would like to talk to you later about that, okay? So let's pray together. Now, remember, when we pray, usually one person speaks, and what you do is you hear the words, and you hear them in your heart, and if you agree with them, then at the end, you say amen, because that means I agree, okay? So I'll pray for all of us. Thank you, God, for giving us songs that we can sing and stories to help us remember that you love us. Help us to sing proudly when it is our turn to sing. Help us to listen carefully when it's our turn to listen. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen.
Amen.
You may now go down to activity period if you would like. Okay, thank you so much for being here. And I would like to invite JD and Carolyn to come up and to share about the Strawberry Communion.
Thank you.
Good morning, everyone. We're actually going to talk about two events that we attended. I attended one, Carolyn attended the next, but they're all part of our involvement on the Mission and Service Committee. You may remember that from a few weeks ago, you would have seen announcements about two events taking place on Saturday, June the 14th, that the Mission and Service Committee was inviting folks to explore right relationships with Indigenous peoples from this area and Southern Ontario generally. So six of us from TUMSE attended in person, and I think a few more may have attended maybe online. So Linda Washburn, Pastor Peter Harrisnape, Jasmine, and Trish and I and Shannon Neufeld all went to the Strawberry Thanksgiving and Communion at Six Nations. And it was held at the Six Nations Polytechnic. The day started off with a traditional Haudenosaunee Thanksgiving address, giving thanks to all parts of creation. And then some of you may be familiar, several years ago there was Indigenous elders from the Niagara region and Six Nations, the Haldimand Tract, who proposed something called the Spiritual Covenant with groups of faith leaders, also from the Haldimand Tract and, well, generally Ontario and Canada. The idea being that since churches don't pay taxes to the government, but often still sit on Indigenous lands, and in particular they were thinking about the Haldimand Tract, there might be an opportunity for congregations to explore making reparation payments directly to Indigenous organizations and communities. And so a group of various faith leaders from many denominations got together, and they prayed about it, and they had processes with their congregations. And so slowly and surely, many congregations and from different faith traditions also said, we're going to make a commitment to doing that. So there were several churches, many churches, Lutheran, Anglican, several Mennonites, United Church. I got to see some old friends, a United Church pastor of mine in Stratford, people from the Lutheran Seminary, were there to make a statement on their journey of reconciliation and how they had made commitments to making reparation payments to various organizations. Many were there to talk about their giving a percentage of their annual church budget to Six Nations Polytechnic. Our work through the Mission and Service Committee on your behalf has started making some small payments, token, but as a way to begin, to a local Toronto-based organization called NAMI Res. And Carolyn's going to talk about how she attended on the same day that we were there. She attended the powwow for NAMI Res. I just want to say, for me, it was really great to be back at Six Nations Polytechnic. One of the young leaders who was there facilitating showed a slideshow of her history of working with faith leaders and Indigenous elders. And from like 10 or 12 years ago, there was a gathering. And lo and behold, I was like, oh, there's Trish and me and our girls from, you know, who were much younger back then. So for me, there was a gratitude both from a history perspective and also now going as a part of TUMSE for the Mission and Service Committee.
As John David said, while the Strawberry Thanksgiving and Communion was taking place, NAMI Res held their largest public event of the year at Dufferin Grove Park in Toronto. This event is usually held at Fort York, but was moved this year because of the World Cup. As you know, NAMI Res is the organization TUMSE chose to support through an initial financial reparation. NAMI Res provides outreach, temporary, transitional, and permanent housing, and much more to Indigenous men. The powwow celebrates Indigenous culture and honors tradition through drumming, dancing, ceremony, vendors, and food. It was a beautiful day and the powwow was well attended. Hundreds of people were there. I attended as well as Laura Cooper, the Lepp family, and perhaps more. Anybody else? No? I didn't see any of them while I was there. Anyway, Laura and I noted on the event's invitation, all are welcome, including the invitation for everyone to dance in some of the dances. Aside from the drumming, dancing, and booths, there were also speeches. Mayor Olivia Chow announced funding for a new shelter for Indigenous women. It is the first municipal shelter in the city dedicated to Indigenous women experiencing homelessness and will be run by the Native Women's Resource Center of Toronto. Laura was particularly moved by witnessing generations of Indigenous women, including young girls, 7 years old, who were dancing behind a young teen in the context of murdered and missing Indigenous women. As Dr. Andrew Busari from UHN says, housing is health. While I was at the powwow, it made me feel very good knowing that Name Res was the organization TUMPSE chose to support financially.
Let us stand to sing hymn number 36, Let Us Build a House. All are welcome.
Thank you.
Hear these words from Psalm 137. By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down and there we wept when we remembered Zion. On the willows there we hung up our harps, for there our captors asked us for songs, and our tormentors asked for mirth, saying, "Sing us one of the songs of Zion." How could we sing the Lord's song in a foreign land? If I forget you, O Jerusalem, let my right hand wither. Let my tongue cling to the roof of my mouth if I do not remember you, if I do not set Jerusalem above my highest joy. David, will you come and share with us?
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm David. I'm from Hong Kong. And thank you, Peter, for inviting me and making all happen. Today is Pride Day, and I'm not here to talk about politics, but I'm here to preach God's word, to share my story, because God's word became real in my life. The theme today is water. Tears, rivers, and living water that never runs dry. Before I start, did anyone hear that song, Psalm 137? Not our version. Did everyone heard about Bomi M1? Yeah, this is my favorite song when I was young, of course. But I think it's just a happy song, something like this. So I think this is the first scripture I can remember I sing to you. By the rivers of Babylon, and we sat down, and we wept when we remember Zion. Wow, so touching. Thank you very much, Peter. All of you, thank you very much. I loved this song when I was young. My mother played the Bomi M version every day. But back then I didn't understand what it means. Now I do. This is one of the most painful psalms in the Bible. This is not a happy song. It is a lament, a cry of exile. The people of Israel had been taken from their home. The temple was destroyed. Your story is very good. And the city were burned. They were dragged to Babylon, a foreign land with a foreign language, foreign gods, and foreign ways. And they sat down by the river, they wept, they cried, right? They couldn't sing anymore. They hung their harps on the trees, not because they forgot how, but because their hearts were totally broken. How can you sing worship song when everything you love is gone? When you feel abandoned by God? When you are surrounded by people who mock you? There's a deep theology here. Exile is not just geography. Exile is a spiritual condition. To be in exile means you are far from home. You are far from God. You are surrounded by voices that mock your faith. You cannot sing. You can only cry. This psalm teaches us something important. Lament is a form of worship. The Bible is full of tears. God is not afraid of your questions, your anger, or your grief. In fact, the psalmist makes a vow in verses 5 and 6, if I forget you, Jerusalem, may my right hand wither. May my tongue stick to my mouth. This is not a curse. That is a declaration of identity. The psalmist say, my identity is tied to my people, my God, my home. I will never forget. Even here in exile, I remember who I am. The river of Babylon's are river of tears, but they are also rivers of memory. The people didn't stop being God's people just because they were in a foreign land. They remembered. They held on, and the act of remembering, even though tears, was worship. I love here worship very much. Thank you. Now I want to be honest with you. I know this psalm, not just from reading it, not just the song, but I have lived it. When I first came to Canada from Hong Kong 2 years ago, everything felt strange. And the first impression, do you know what is it? Why so cold? Why? You know, Hong Kong is a very hot place. The cold weather, the new language, you know, no family around. I felt lost. I felt like an exile. But the hardest part was that back in Hong Kong, my church told me, you are gay. You cannot be a Christian. You must break up with your partner, Jeff, which we'd be together for 16 years by then. Now it's 18 years, yeah. And you have to throw away your ring. We love you, but I don't want to see you in the fire of the hell. I sat there crying. The pastor was crying too. Our heart broke. I thought, if God's love is like this, maybe God doesn't love me at all. I sat by my own river and wept. I couldn't sing. I felt pushed out by the very church I love. That was my exile. But here's the theological point. Even when I was crying by the river, God was still with me. The Bible doesn't say God left the people in Babylon, no. It says that sat by the river and wept. And God was right there with them and with us. The rivers of Babylon were not a place of sorrow, no. They were a place of God's presence. The people didn't know it then. I didn't know it then. But God never left his people, even in exile, even by the river. Now there's another water story in the Bible. A well, not a river. A woman, not a nation. Jesus met a Samaritan woman at a well. I think that you know it well. She had 5 husbands, so good. And was living with another man. Now we are very happy with this, but by then, people looked down on her, okay? She was hiding, so she came to get water at noon when no one else was there. She came for ordinary water, but Jesus offered her something different. Jesus said, everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whosoever drinks the water I give them will never be thirsty again. It will become a spring of living water inside them. Living water isn't a thing, it's Jesus. He fills the emptiness nothing else can fill. Jesus knew everything about her, all her pain, all her shame, but he didn't push her away, no. He didn't judge her. He spoke truth to her, and then he revealed who he really is. She left her water jar behind. She ran back to town, she told everyone, come and see a man who told me everything I ever did. She stopped hiding. Her brokenness became her story. Because Jesus saw her completely and still loved her, and still loved me, and still loved all of us. The river of Babylon's were tears. The living water Jesus gives is joy. I have lived both stories. The river of Babylon, I know that river. The Samaritan well, I know that well too. I was thirsty, and Jesus met me. I sat by the river in Toronto, crying, rejected by my church in Hong Kong, feeling like an exile forever. I thought God has turned his back on me. But God found me. God is always with me. He sent kind people and welcoming church. They said, "You are welcome here, just as you are. No conditions, no change first, just love, living water." Like the woman at the well, I left my water jar behind. The burden of hiding, the fear, the pretending. I started sharing my story, not because I'm perfect, but because I'm loved. That is the gospel. God meets us by the river. Whether it's a river of tears or a river of shame, and he offered us living water. Maybe right now some of you feel like you are sitting by your own rivers. You feel alone. You feel like God gave up on you. Your tears feel endless. Let's take 20 seconds together. Close your eyes if you want. Just sit by the river. Feel how tired you are. Now listen. Can you hear a soft voice? I see you. I know you. I am with you. You are not alone. That voice is Jesus. He has been sitting by the river with you the whole time. He never left, and he is offering you living water. My journey from tears to living water happened in 3 steps. The first, being seen. In Hong Kong, I had to hide, I had to pretend, but here, people didn't see a problem. They saw a person Jesus came to meet. Second, being known. I share my story, my tears, my pain with the Hong Kong churches. They listened, they cried with me. Not pity, really understanding. That is living water. The third, being loved just as I am. Not I love you, but change. Just I love you, exactly as you are. Nothing can separate us from God's love. Not our past, not our orientation, not even the church that reject us, nothing. Paul says in Romans chapter 8, 38 to 39, nothing can separate us from the love of God. That is the gospel. That is, again, living water. This is why Pie Sunday matters in the church. Not for politics for me, not because we are proud of ourselves, but because we are proud of Jesus, proud of a God who welcomes everyone and we want people who have been pushed out to hear clearly. You belong here. You are loved here. And you are safe here. As someone who was once rejected by the church, I stand here today because some Christian opened their arms wide like Jesus on the cross. They gave me living water, and it saved my life, our lives. So today I ask you, keep your arms open, look around. Who feels like an outsider? Invite them, listen to them, tell them, you are welcome here. Can you tell again? Say again. 1, 2, 3. You are welcome here. Thank you. Those words can save a life. They save mine. The exile sat by the rivers of Babylon and wept. The Samaritan woman came to the well, hiding in shame. But Jesus met both of them by the water. He turned their tears into living water. I used to sit by the river and cry. Today I stand here and smile. Not because everyone is perfect, but because I know Jesus is with me and with all of you. Even in the lowest place, his hand is holding me. Even by the rivers of tears, he offers living water. If you're sitting by the river today, you can come home today. You can be loved. You can drink living water just as you are. Let us pray. Loving God, thank you that when we cry by rivers, you don't walk away. Thank you for Jesus who gives us living water. Thank you for churches that open their arms. Help us be a place where everyone feels seen, known, and loved. Just as they are, turn our rivers of tears into springs of living water. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. God bless you, and you are always welcome here. Thank you.
Peter, we have a surprise. Phone scanner. And Lori found the music. Wow. So, and Jason did some magic back there, so it'll scroll up and we'll sing the song. And it's on screen, I don't have to use my phone. All right, let's stand.
Yeah.
Do not be silent, but speak the words of life to all who you meet. Listen for the voice of God in every place where you find yourself. Go in peace to love and serve our God. Amen.